Nothing defines a person more. Nothing impacts a person's actions more than the concept, the idea, the image of God that they have internally. Whatever your internal picture of God is, that is the single most important idea you have. One of the great revelations of the age of computers and video gaming and increased television viewing is the understanding of how much we think in pictures. For the most part, humans conceptualize in images and pictures. Our big thoughts in our brain have image and picture associated with them. If you mention someone's loved one to them, if you think of a loved one, you don't think of paragraphs of words describing them, right? If I mention Sarah's name, you don't think about this long article. You see her face, and embedded in that image, associated with that image, is everything you believe to be true about Sarah. That's kind of how we think. We think in pictures, and the more accurate your picture of a situation or of an individual, the healthier and more effective and better your interaction with them is going to be. Does that make sense? We all have a picture of God. And I submit to you that your picture of God is the most important idea you have. It drives so much of your life that it is staggering. This even applies to people who claim to have no picture of God, no belief in God. That non-belief or that non-image impacts them enormously. I've never met a casual atheist. That is to say, I've never met someone casual in their atheism, where like you know them for 6 years and they're like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm an atheist. No, am I right? In my experience, they are more zealous and evangelistic in their atheism than most of the people of faith I know. They are passionate about their non-image of God, and it becomes a defining part of their life. Most atheists, if I know, will tell you, they will confess, that the most defining thing about them is their atheism. They are defined and their actions are determined by a non-image of God. Your picture of God is the most important thing in your mind. It will determine and drive your values. It will dictate your actions. Your idea of the supreme being will become the defining, driving idea in your brain. If your picture is of a punishing, angry God, you'll live in fear and always be trying to please Him. If your picture is of a distant, remote, deist kind of God, you'll turn more towards self-fulfillment instead of trying to serve a God you feel has basically abandoned you. You cannot have a picture of a supreme being that exists outside of your experience and that picture not affect how you will live your life. And whatever that picture of God is that you have, that you embrace, it will have an enormous impact on your destiny. Let's bring it down into human terms. If your internal picture of me is that I'm unfair, you will not deal with me in trust. If your picture of me is that I am weak, you will not deal with me in respect. If your picture of me is that I am cruel, you'll deal with me in caution. If your picture of me is that I am indifferent, you won't draw close to me. If your picture of me is that I am arrogant, you'll deal with me accordingly. If your picture of me is that I am generous, then you'll be embracing of me. If your picture of me is that I am kind, you will trust me. The picture you hold impacts your actions and your interaction, and that is true of the picture you hold of God, and we all have one. Am I right? Therefore, it is of supreme importance that your picture of God be accurate. It's going to determine how you interact with God, how much you desire to serve Him, how closely you walk in His law, and how much of God you pursue in your life. But I don't have time to delve into this too deeply, but Scripture also teaches us that our idea of God impacts how we interact with each other. So the value I place on humanity comes out of my understanding of God. I value people not because there's any inherent nobility and kindness on my part. It is from my internal picture of God. When I look at my picture of God, I see a God that loved his creation so much he died for them. So when I look at his creation, I have to say, wow, they must be a lot because the God I see died for them. I see humanity as the image bearers of God. Therefore, life becomes precious. There's really nothing more significant in your mental being than your picture of God. It'll determine your ideas about time and eternity. It will influence every decision in this life. It will affect whether you run toward God or away from God or are indifferent to God. It will influence how you treat all of God's creation. So the evil enemy of God and humanity knows that so the first thing Satan ever assaulted was what humanity believed and knew to be true about God. Genesis 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not die. For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Watch what he did. He assaults her picture of God. She tells him what she knows to be true about God, and he comes back and he said, "That's not what God's like at all. God's not like that." And he starts painting a different picture of God. He paints a picture of God, of a God that is a liar. What God said is not true. He paints her a picture of a God that was insecure and was afraid that her and Adam were going to become like him. He painted a picture of a God that was afraid to be challenged by beings like himself. And out of this messed up picture of God, disobedience and sin and fear and death were born. Every failure of humanity. Are you guys all right? Every failure of humanity in our long history with God is the result of either direct defiance of God and disobedience, or of us not having an accurate picture of God. Men died in the Old Testament because they did not see the holiness of God, and so they treated him casually. The nation of Israel suffered for generations because in their picture of God, they did not see his love, so they constantly turned to other gods which were not gods. And over you see this deal where people's lives were destroyed because their image of God that they had internally was not right. You move to the New Testament and you see it again. Romans 1 lists the worst degradations and cruelties of humanity. And the final verses of that chapter describe mankind at his absolute worst. And then it points us to how we got that way. Verse 19, "Because that which may be known of God is shown to them, for God manifested it to them. For the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." In other words, it's very possible to have a correct picture of God. But the Bible goes on to say this. "When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Watch this. "And changed the glory of God, of the uncorruptible God, into an image." Internally. Listen to me carefully. The glorious truth about God got all messed up. And when they looked inside, the image of the God they saw in no way resembled the truth about God. And according to Romans, the fallout is all of the rot that we see in the world today. A people filled with all unrighteousness and wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness, full of envy and murder and debate and deceit and malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful. How did we get there? Because we got an image of God that was all messed up. We took the perfect, glorious image of God and we corrupted it. And when we looked at internally, we saw the wrong thing and we acted according to what we saw, and this is the result. You know the best way to get an accurate internal picture of someone is to interact with them. I know Scott. I think I got a pretty good read on that guy. well, as good a read as you can have on Scott Fain. Because I've hung out with the guy and I've talked with him and he shared his heart. And that's the only way you can get a correct image of me. I know you see me stand up here and I'm good looking and I seem wise and powerful. I got it all together. Hang out with me for a little while. You'll figure out that's not all true. I'm a walking train wreck. I am increasingly amused by so many people who act as if they really know celebrities with whom they've never had so much as a conversation. There are people who tell you exactly what Lady Gaga thinks. As though anybody cares. But all they know, we see their movies, we listen to their music, we read articles about them, we hear news reports about them, and somehow we then imagine that we know them. And we form an internal picture of what they're like. And then the next thing you know, you have this relationship with an idea that may or may not resemble anything close to reality. And some of you are saying, you just know that you and George Clooney would make an amazing couple, or you and Mila Kunis would make an amazing couple because you're so wonderful and they're an amazing person. Really, you don't know this. You don't know anything about them. You just have this picture internally that you culled from a bunch of different sources. And people do that with God. We get ideas and glimpses and slivers about God. And from this picture where that may or may not be accurate, we make decisions about God. Where do we get this picture? Well, you have a sliver of God you remember from Sunday school. And you have another few ideas you got from some books written by a guy that may or may not have the right picture of God. But you like some of the stuff he said, so you embraced that and rejected the rest. And one preacher on TV says some stuff you like, so you add that to your picture of God. Then there's some stuff you came up with that you would like to believe. And since everybody seems to be afraid to speak out as an authority on God, you feel free to add your own ideas in there. And we wind up with a hodgepodge assortment of ideas called from all kinds of sources all over a lifetime. And that screwed up picture of God then informs us of how we value ourselves and others and what our place in the world is. We wind up with what I call a Picasso God. Anybody familiar with Picasso? Picasso stuck an ear on one side of the canvas. Then he threw an eyeball up there where he felt it would be good. And then he painted a nose coming out of the eye. He had this weird kind of grotesque assortment of parts that he stuck on the canvas. It really didn't look like anything. And too many people are walking around with this mixed up Picasso kind of picture of God that is not beautiful. It's not cohesive. It does not make sense. And it no way accurately depicts the reality of God. We see slivers of God and we embrace that as the totality of God. A lot of people read stuff about God in the Old Testament and they imagine that what they see there is the entire picture of God, but it's not. They read where God wiped out an entire race of people in the Old Testament. Well, God's a murderous God. Or they read where God poured fire out. Well, God's an angry God. And that what you're seeing slivers and bits and you're throwing that on your canvas and you're going to wind up with a Picasso God that doesn't make sense and doesn't really look like God. And the Bible tells you that. Colossians 2:17 and Hebrews 8:5 says all that stuff in the Old Testament said it's shadows. It's shadows and it's accurate as far as a shadow can be accurate, but it's a shadow nonetheless. And Colossians 2:17 says it's just a shadow, but the body is Jesus Christ. There's a reality greater than all your bits and slivers that you've thrown on the canvas. Hebrews 10:1, for the law, all that stuff, that they're having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of those things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, make the comers thereunto perfect. Let me tell you what he's saying. The message of that verse is staggering. If the image is not right, then your worship will not work. You're not hearing me. He said that shadow, that law, that shadow, he said it can never make the worshiper perfect. I don't care how faithfully they serve it. In other words, if your idea of God, if your picture of God, if your image of God is not right, I don't care how faithfully and how long and how continuously you serve it, it will not work. It will do nothing for you. That's how compassion can't replace truth. Well, I really, really believe I'm glad, but if your picture's wrong, it's not doing you any good. You're trying to navigate Chicago with a map of Dallas. You gotta get the right picture. And don't ever forget the work of our enemy in all this. He is a master at making one thing look like something else. According to 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan will transform himself to appear as an angel of light. And his first trick is still his best go-to trick, and that is to make God look like something else to you. And he thought it worked so good with Eve. I'll run this one by Scott. And he'll try to give you an image, a picture of God. He's been at it for a long time, and what he loves to distort more than anything else is our picture of God. He wants you to see a vengeful, punishing God. Or a remote, cold, distant, unaffected, uninvolved God. He wants you to see an unjust or cruel God. He wants you to see a weak, puny, paltry God. He wants you to have 23 ideas about God and all of them conflicting, so you have a Picasso God that's impossible to have faith in and quite honestly is a little grotesque to look at. Have you ever noticed when cultures of antiquity developed systems of idolatry, the gods they imagined and then portrayed were never beautiful? They were never lovely to look on. They were always grotesque. Why? Because they brought it. The pantheons of God from the ancient mythologies were capricious, and they were cruel, and they were vindictive, and they were twisted, and they were sick. The imagined gods of humanity are always angry and always fearsome and always terrifying and always demanding and never beautiful. When man makes up gods, he always makes them in his own image. They never look beautiful. Lucky for us, we're not left hanging without an accurate picture of God. We're told without equivocation what God looks like. In his preamble, in his letter to Colossae, the Apostle Paul writes the following about Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:12. You guys all right? Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. Pastor, what does the picture of God, what's it supposed to look like? It's supposed to look like Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. When you look in your heart, your God should look like Jesus Christ. That is who Jesus is. He is the face of God to us. That's what we look. If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. Even better, have a relationship with Jesus. Talk to him. Learn to hear his voice. Absorb the stories of his life. Invite him to live inside of you. Then you're going to know what the full and accurate picture of God is supposed to look like. Don't tell me I looked at God and decided to reject him. You didn't see Jesus. Because he's beautiful. He's beautiful. He's glorious. Hebrews 1:1, the book of Hebrews echoes what Paul said in Colossae to the Colossian church. It's Hebrews 1:1, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Now, you understand what he's saying? He said, you got a lot of different images of God. But in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. He's the express image of the person of God. This passage tells us that there were a lot of glimpses of God until Jesus came, but he's the full picture of God and that we need to internalize, and he's glorious. Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Watch this. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. He said, be careful who messes with your image you have inside. Be careful lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. And the rudiments of the world, be very careful who gets to touch that picture and not after Christ. Watch this. For in him is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What is that saying, Pastor? It's saying everything you need to know about God is in Jesus Christ. What does God look like? He looks like Jesus Christ. The most important idea you hold in your head is your picture of God. The full and complete and accurate picture of God is Jesus Christ. He's the express image of God. He's the radiance of His glory. He's the exact representation of His being. He's the fullness of the Godhead. And He is beautiful. And He is, I wish I could get some help there. He's beautiful, Sean. He's glorious. He's lovely. He's loving. He's gracious. When you look through the life, read the Gospels. Read the Gospels. Make this your homework this week. Start in Matthew 1:1 and read all the way through the Gospels and just look at Jesus. You know what you're going to see? You're going to see compassion. You're going to see justice. You're going to see gentleness. You're going to see a self-sacrificing God. You're going to see an absolutely loving God. All your ideas that form your Picasso God are not complete and not accurate. Colossians 2:17, they're just a shadow of things to come. But the body is Christ. Let me throw a few little things out there. If you look at your picture of God and you're afraid, you have the wrong picture of God. If you look at your picture of God and you feel worthless, you have the wrong picture of God. If you look at your picture of God and you feel indifferent, either you are one more self-centered individual or you have the wrong picture of God. Several years ago, Leon and I went to Hawaii. Boy, there's a whole sermon series there. I won't even get started. But we get there and I mean, it's amazing. We're wandering around. Total tourist. I mean, total tourist. And, you know, and we were a few blocks from Waikiki Beach, most famous beach in the world. It's like, we are going to watch the sunset on Waikiki Beach. It's going to be amazing. And we get there and crowds are gathering to watch the sunset. And it is staggering. It is staggering. We're sitting there, and I mean, I'm just... You can see that sun, this golden orb, just melting into the ocean. I am one more poetic, dude. It's blazing a red gold path across the sea that looked like you could walk on it to paradise. And I'm just like, wow. And around me, people are just like, wow. And there was another couple right there, and the guy was standing there going, I didn't come all this way just to stand around. We gonna go get something to eat or what? I say, dude, do you understand? Are you looking at the same thing I'm looking at? There's 5,000 people out here that can't take the whole city just kind of hushed when that sun hit the edge of that far horizon. Everybody was just like, except for this one dude, all he can think about is his belly. A million sunsets on a million worlds. Do not come close to the radiance of the glory of God that is Jesus Christ. And if you ever really see Him, you cannot remain indifferent. And the only way you look on Him and are indifferent is if you're seeing the wrong picture or you're just self-centered. Because He's glorious. The Bible says that the light that shined in creation is what shined in our heart in the face of Jesus Christ. He's glorious. When you look, you should see a Savior that loves you so much that He took the weight of your sins and suffered the punishment for you on Calvary. If you look at your picture of God and you're repulsed, you have the wrong picture of God. How you value yourself is tied to your internal picture of God. Oh, let me just hang out here for a second. How you value yourself is tied to your internal picture of God. When you see God as a Savior that loves you so much, He became flesh and died for your sin, it changes how you value yourself. Here's a very simple test to tell you whether or not your picture of God is accurate or not. When you look at Him, do you want to run to Him or do you want to run away from Him? simplest test I know. Because when you really see him, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you've done, you can't find anybody in Scripture that was trying to get away from him. I don't care how broken, how degraded, how shattered. When they saw him, they were just trying to get to him. They were pushing their way through crowds. Little blind beggars were staggering along, and they caught the sound of his voice, Chris. They started screaming, "Jesus, thou son of David." Little women hemorrhaging blood with every step pushed through crowds. Just lepers who avoided all other civilization. When they saw him, they came toward him. If you have the right picture of God, you will want to run to him, not away from him. In John 4, Jesus encounters a woman whose entire life was just shambles. And he asks her for a drink from Jacob's well. And they get into a discussion about her life and about the coming Messiah. Jesus tells her about water so powerful that she'll never thirst again. All the desires and longings that had so ruled her life would once and for all be satisfied. And she was suspicious and she was argumentative and she was doubtful. And finally Jesus comes out with this in the 10th verse. He said unto her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you, you would ask me for living water." And said, "If you just see me, if you had any clue who I am, can I tell you something? If you had any clue what Jesus is like, you would not sit there so indifferently. You would not hoard your hurts to yourself and not put them in his hands. The most important thing that can happen is that you have a right picture of God in you. And that picture should look like Jesus Christ." I'm going to close with this. The Bible makes us, hang on a second, Chris. The Bible makes us some incredible promises. Among the promises of Scripture is a promise that God has given us some incredible spiritual weaponry. That weaponry is powerful and has a very specific purpose. Hang with me, I'm almost done. 2 Corinthians 10:4 tells you about them. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not of the flesh, but mighty through God." They have a twofold purpose. The first is this: pulling down strongholds. So they're spiritual in nature, and we exercise them spiritually through prayer, through faith. And they pull down strongholds. A stronghold is simply a place inside of us where something destructive to us, to our life, our destiny, our faith takes up residence. It can be a belief, it can be an old wound, but it's something that takes up residence there. In the faith of Jesus Christ is the power to pull that stronghold down. But then the promise of what our weaponry can do continues. Verse 5, casting down imaginations. Everybody say imaginations. "And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That word imaginations is the word we've been dealing with all day long. Our imaginations are those mental pictures that define reality for us. That's what they are. And here's the deal. If they're wrong, they are destructive, and they must be taken down. They must be dismantled. If your imagination about God is wrong, if your imagination about what God thinks about you is wrong, if your image of what you are in the plan of God is wrong, it's incredibly destructive. It's as destructive as a demonic stronghold in your life. Oh, I'm going to come back and preach that. I've heard all the teaching and preaching about stronghold this, stronghold that. Yes, they're bad, but in this same verse puts them right there. Demonic stronghold or wrong ideas about God, they are equally destructive. They often behave the same way. I didn't intend to get into this, but I just feel that we're going to go with it. I've seen people that I would swore they were devil-possessed. They're not. They got a wrong picture of God. They got a wrong picture of God. The Bible puts them right there side by side. Weapons of your warfare serve two purposes. Destroy strongholds. I don't have any demonic strongholds that maybe you just got a wrong idea about God or yourself or how God thinks about you. Well, guess what? The weapons of your warfare not only pull down strongholds, they cast down those wrong imaginations. But it doesn't stop there. The Bible says after it's cast them down, it takes all your thoughts and brings them into obedience to Christ. In other words, this is kind of what happens. You have your Picasso picture of God, faith in Jesus Christ, prayer, the delivering power of God will cast that Picasso picture down. And in its place put Jesus Christ. So when you look inside, you see the right picture of God. We're going to do the same thing we do every week. We're going to come to this altar and we're going to talk to God. But today we're going to pray some very specific things. We'll have to listen to the Holy Ghost. We're going to ask God to tear down our imaginations about God that are wrong. And have them replaced with the glorious, radiant beauty that is Jesus Christ. When we sing songs like, "Oh, how he loves me," and you don't get it, it's because you got the wrong picture of God. Little confession. I love me some rock and roll. Particularly Southern rock. I like a little Southern rock. There's a little group I like called the Drive-By Truckers. I like some Drive-By Truckers. But I'm just going to confess it all today. It's going to get awkward. Recently, the Drive-By Truckers were playing over at the Granada Theater. Yeah, I did. I was right up. I tried to get Liella to go. She's like, "You're out of your mind." Well, first I was like, "You want to go to a hair concert?" And the last concert I took her to was like a jazz thing. She said, "Oh, that'd be nice. Who are we going to hear?" And so I told her the name. She goes, "I don't know if that sounds like something I'd be into." So I let her listen to a little bit. And she's like, "Yeah, you're on your own there, bucko." Line from their song disturbed me. Guess that I don't know God, but I fear his wrath. And you really don't know God. You really don't know God. If you had run away from him before you had run to him, you have the wrong picture of him. If you think you can't trust him with your problem, you got the wrong picture. If you imagine for a second he does not care, you got the wrong picture. So we're going to ask God today to cast down. Would you take those lights down, guys? We're going to ask God to cast down imaginations and raise up the beauty of Jesus Christ. Would you just bow your head right where you are? Lift your hands toward heaven, Father. I believe you want to do a delivering work in this house today. I believe you want to do a delivering work in this place today. I believe you want to cast down all of our ideas about you that are not right. I believe it grieves your heart that the evil one distorts your image. And I can tricks us into embracing it, and so we believe things about you that are not right. So as a body, we invite you in. If you agree with that, just say amen. As a body, we invite you in to cast down the imaginations in our heart. Take our Picasso God, tear it up, throw it away. Let the glorious radiance of Jesus Christ shine in our hearts. Will you stand your feet? Keep your hands stretched up toward heaven. Come in, Lord Jesus, cast down imaginations. Now I've preached to you and I've led you to this point. It's now up to you. We need to fill this altar, and we need to fill it not just with our bodies, listen to me, but we need to fill it with our passionate prayers. We reject all these images that don't look like you, Jesus. You were never cruel. You were never unjust. You were never harsh, and you were never mean, and you were never belittling. You were loving and gracious and kind and just and strong. So we're asking for everything inside of us that doesn't look like you. Remove it, God. Would you come to this altar right now? Come right now. Let's come talk to Him. Let's come talk to the Lord Jesus. Cast down these imaginations in my heart that tell me you don't care. Cast down these imaginations that tell me you're far removed from me. Cast down this picture, God, that I